Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
Or email joe@rte.ie. Now, thank you to all of those callers, very animated callers, on the issue of crow bangers. But we're going to move on now because I want to talk to Laurie Clark. Laurie, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Laurie, you got in touch with us because this is an issue. We're 4 months into the COVID restrictions now, and I suppose at the start of it, everyone was, you know, very keyed up to do the right thing and to play their part. But 4 months on, you're looking now at the restrictions and what they're doing for your nearest and dearest. Can you talk to me about your situation?
Yeah, so my granddad is an 83-year-old North Side Dublin. He lives in a nursing home on the north side of Dublin, and he has lived there for years, since 2011. And actually, what my email was that yesterday I've gone to a hair salon. My appointment was for 2 hours. And as I was sitting there, the stylist said to me, "Oh, just give me a couple of minutes, Laurie. I'll be back to you in a couple of minutes." And when she left, I just picked up my phone and I was scrolling through social media and reading threads. But before I even got to the end, she was back. And it felt to me like two or three minutes had passed. And when I looked at my phone, it was actually 15 minutes that had passed. And suddenly the realisation hit that 15 minutes is what's currently being afforded to my granddad for visiting each week. Just 15 minutes per week.
So that's all. You know, that's all you're allowed to do, to visit for 15 minutes a week.
He's allowed nominated visitors. So two people can be the nominated visitors, but only one can visit each week. And the visit can only be for 15 minutes. He has four children. He has a family that love him and that see him. And they haven't been able to do so, you know, consistently since March. Today he'll have his third 15-minute visit. Visiting was only reinstated in the home that he's in 3 weeks ago.
Tell me a little bit more about your granddad, Laurie. How long has he been in this nursing home?
Okay, so my granddad has for almost 8 years. He's got complex medical needs. He has Parkinson's. He has skin cancer, which is spread and it's progressed. It's on his face. It's affected in one of his eyes, leaving him blind eye and limited vision in the other. His Parkinson's very difficult for him on some days to speak. And restrictions introduced, one of his children, one of his family, visit him every single day.
Laurie, I hate to cut across you and I hate to stop you because I want to hear about your granddad, but unfortunately that line that we're talking to you on has deteriorated. I'm going to just take a break and see if we can sort that out because I want to hear what you're saying.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And just before the break there, we were talking to Laurie Clark about her granddad who's in a nursing home and is only allowed one 15-minute visit a week from his loved ones. And I have Laurie back on the line now, hopefully a better line.
I hope so.
Oh, that's better, Laurie. Laurie, you were telling me about your granddad. He has a lot going on with him.
He does. So I don't know whether you heard, he has Parkinson's, which is advanced. That obviously affected mobility. He's completely dependent on the care of the nursing home staff. He's bedbound. No, he can't do things like lift his arm to his forehead to maybe scratch an itch. He's also got skin cancer, which is on his face also, and it's spread into his cheekbone. Lost vision in one eye as a result, and he's got very limited vision in the other. Can you hear me?
Yes, and Laurie, before COVID, you would have seen him every day, or
before COVID, before the visit ban ended on the 17th of March, he had a visitor every single day for the almost 9 years that he's been there. one of his children, four children, Martin being the eldest, would have gone up at lunchtime. They would have fed him lunch. They would have, you know, spoken with Mahat. They would have, you know, moisturised his skin if that's what he needed. They would just provide mental engagement for him and social interaction, which he loved. You know, it wasn't always easy for him because of that, you know, his speech was always strong, and it wasn't always easy for him to communicate effectively, but he tried and he was encouraged. And then since COVID, all them supports have been removed from him. So, you know, he doesn't have interaction with anybody other than staff. He's in a room on the fourth floor. Window visits aren't a possibility. And even if they were, they probably wouldn't be suitable anyway, because, you know, even if he couldn't, he definitely couldn't hear him. You know, video calls are challenging because a mic doesn't pick up his voice. He has to see the screen very well. And that's the best.
Laurie, the line really isn't great, but I just want to get your point across because it's a very important point. And you're saying that 15 minutes a week is just not good enough. And you really think this needs to be seriously reviewed.
I think what the main I was hoping to make was that the HSC asks us to be alert to elder abuse, to open our eyes to elder abuse. And while I'm not in any way insinuating or accusing anybody of intent elder abuse, what I'm saying is that HSC on their website defines elder abuse as abuse may be defined as an act or failure to act which results in a breach of vulnerable person's human rights, civil liberties, physical and mental integrity, dignity or general well-being, whether intended or through negligence.
Sorry, Laurie. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Laurie, but I'm just so aware that people are not going to be able to hear you because that line has just really gone bad. But I understand what you're saying, and really it is that this is not right that people in your grandfather's position and all those other people who are basically have been locked up in nursing homes because of, for all the best reasons and for all the right reasons, but they have been in there for months now and they're facing into more months perhaps of this, and that it's time to review that. But
there is no plan. There is no plan.
There is no plan, and that's your issue, that nobody is thinking about this, and you're saying it's having a detrimental effect on people like your granddad.
It's obvious. The HSC have responded, and they said in one email that the frontline workers support the sentiments of our email. We've witnessed that. The frontline staff in the nursing home that my granddad lives in supports us in campaigning for increased visiting. They're the ones that have seen the deterioration in his well-being and in other residents' well-being. It's not people who are making decisions from afar in the Department of Health or the Department of Public Health. They don't see the deterioration every day in nursing home residents. We see it. We see the deterioration. It's huge.
And as you say, the it's not down to individual nursing homes because they have to follow a national guidelines.
They do. We've been told that the decision making is being led and it's being implemented by the Department of Health. And while we say we absolutely understand that there's a right and a need to protect residents from COVID, like that's indisputable, that has to be done. But also the needs of residents to have their mental health protected, to have their physical, overall, general well-being protected is also their right. And their rights aren't being afforded to them because of the restrictions on visiting.
And I suppose a lot of people are so acutely aware as well that they may be dealing with limited time with some of these residents of nursing homes.
Well, the majority of people in nursing homes are elderly, are approaching the end of their life. Nobody knows what time that we've got left and how quickly a small, you know, a viral infection that, you know, you or I could fight easily would have a devastating impact on someone in a nursing home who has other issues.
And even
we're gravely concerned about my granddad's well-being and the impact that the visiting restrictions is having on him. My mum has seen him since March. There's been two patio visits where he was brought downstairs in a chair bed, and my mum and her siblings had to shout to him, and they didn't know what he was saying in response. And following them visits, they brought him back to the room, and he broke down. He cried for 40 minutes that he was so upset following a visit with his family.
That's just heartbreaking.
It's not right. It's not right. And COVID is here for a long time. And I don't know when it's going to go away. And, you know, we don't know if it's going to go away. But residents can't continue to have visiting restricted until there's a vaccine. It may just be too late.
Go on, Laurie.
I will. I just want to say one thing, that, you know, my granddad is very, very loved. He's so, you know, he's such a huge part of our family. And we just, you know, to see him, his mental health decline so significantly in such a short period of time frightens us. We are so worried about his well-being, and that ripples through the family. We're all impacted. We've all had sleepless nights worrying if he's, you know, is he okay? You know, did someone check on him today? Like, the staff there are brilliant. Like, they're like a second family to him, but they're not his family. And they're overworked. They've witnessed some of the most horrific things that they will in their career over the past couple of months. This isn't an attack on them, but the people up higher who are making the decisions need to come down and see what the visiting ban is doing to the residents day to day, how they're deteriorating, how isolated they are, how their mental health is being annihilated.
And of course, I mean, there was all that controversy way back at the start of this, back in March, about whether visiting should be stopped and going into nursing homes, and nursing homes stopped it. And then the NPHET were a week later coming to the party basically and saying, you know, they delayed that. And they said at the time that was because they totally appreciated that this, you know, all of these residents are living in their own homes, essentially, and that, you know, not having visitors could have a very devastating impact on them. But as you say, now perhaps it's time to look at this again and see, you know.
It has to be looked at
it
again.
It has to be looked at again.
The responses can't keep being, these are under review. The visiting restrictions are under review, in line with the government's roadmap. We're not talking about the reopening of services or, you know, a hair salon or pubs, which I understand are important for people's livelihoods, but we're talking about people who are living in their homes, approaching the last years of their life, being isolated, left alone, with no support from their families in a physical or meaningful way. You know, it said staff, you know, have to go back to a level of normality to, you know, living their lives outside work and, you know, shopping and eating out with their family and doing things like that. But in doing so, that creates, families are no more a risk. Families are no more a risk if they're acting safely and acting the way we're being asked to do. And that's what we're doing.
Laurie, we're getting a huge amount of calls in on this. Will you bear with me? I want to go to Mia. Mia, good afternoon.
Hi, Casey. I'm nervous, to be honest with you. I normally wouldn't do this, but I feel so strongly about it.
Well, thank you for doing it, Mia. Your mom is in a nursing home.
She is, yeah, in her 90s.
And what is your situation? Have you been able to visit her?
It's two nominated people. We are three siblings who visited daily. At least one of us was there daily. So it was a very difficult decision to nominate two people, and we're allowed one visit a week. But it's, you know, between phone calls and between the visits, we see a huge deterioration in my mum. You know, when we went out, we spent two and a half, three hours every evening with her. We'd discuss the newspaper, we'd discuss Leo Varadkar, we'd discuss everything like that. There just isn't time, and I really do. Like, again, just like Laurie, she was fantastic. She was such a good spokesperson and an advocate for elderly people. I just really admire her. But we need to do something. You know, they are, they, you know, my mom is in her 90s. Now, I may go before her myself, but, you know, as my brother-in-law used to say, she's in the waiting room, you know, and it's not fair. It's really, really not fair.
And when you have a visit now, Mia, how does it go? Can you touch her? Can you, you know?
No, you can't touch her. And that's very, very difficult because you sit, you know, apart at the other end of the table. Now, I've had three visits. My first two visits were really great and Mum was in great form and we had a laugh and I showed her photographs and things like that. But my last visit was not easy because the pharmacy man was delivering when I arrived. And so I had to wait, but my mum spotted me outside the front door and she got very upset because she thought they weren't going to let me in. And she got really, really upset. Yeah. And I just think I'll never forget it, Katie.
It's so difficult.
Mm. And then the visit wasn't good because she got into such a state, you know. And again, like Laurie, the carers are absolute angels. They just, you know, they're wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful. But, you know, when Mum got upset, we went into a room to have our visit and one of the lovely carers came in and she had her mask and everything on. She was able to put her arm around my mum and I was sitting opposite her and I couldn't.
Yeah. So. It just feels so unnatural, the situation we have found ourselves in now.
Yeah,
like the one thing you want to do is reach out.
Absolutely, totally. And, you know, what I thought, you know, when we had the good weather, I know it's a little bit sporadic now, but when there was the good weather, why couldn't have we been outside? Why, you know, keep the distance, but, you know, just make allowances and things like that. And when there's good weather, we could be outside. And, you know, it's so hard to hear all the discussion about pubs. And I really understand that. My own dad had his own business, so it's very, very difficult. And you hear people, you know, I need a holiday. And you don't need a holiday. You want a holiday, you know. But these people need their families. They need their families. They need to see them. They need to chat to them. They need the stimulation. You know, nobody knows my mum's background like I do or my two sisters. And we can kind of, you know, give her all that kind of stimulation. We can, you know, kind of sort of buy away from agitation and that, in, you know, so that she kind of calms down and everything. And it's unbearable. It you know, as I said in my text, I suppose that the most awful feeling is it's so, so sad. It's really sad.
It really is, Mia. Mia, thank you so much for getting in touch with that.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Mia.
And thank you to Laurie. She was just a fantastic advocate for her granddad.
Absolutely, and Laurie's still with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us because I have to take a break, but I want to stay with this just before we go to the top of the hour.
Okay. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we're getting a huge volume of calls in on this subject of nursing homes and loved ones and the little visiting time and the little contact that we're allowed to have. So many that we're not going to go to some of the calls that I have standing by. We're going to return to this conversation tomorrow. I just want to, the last minute I have left, Laurie, if I can come back to you and just say, what would you like to see NPHET and the Department of Health do in relation to this now?
We want them to recognise the needs of residents. We want them to recognise that their behaviours, whether intentional or not, are what the HSE define as elder abuse. And as I said, it's not intentional, but it doesn't make it less so. Residents have a right to contact. They have a right to physical contact. They have a right to relationships with their families. And they have a right for their mental health to be protected. And we want them to recognise that. We want them to stop seeing COVID as the only risk and recognise that a decline in mental health, a decline in their physical well-being is just as much a risk.
Laurie, that is... And I thank you for raising this issue because, as I say, we've had a huge volume of calls in it.
Kate, I do also just want to say really quickly that, you know, my granddad has a 15-minute visit and it's nowhere near enough. There are other families who have two 20-minute visits and that's not near enough. But there are families out there who are still yet to see their loved ones, who have still not had contact, who have had no visits. with their loved ones.
And their loved ones have had no visits with their families.
And their loved ones have had no visits with their families.
Okay. Well, look, as I say, we will come back to this tomorrow, Laurie. Thank you so much for raising it. Ray Darcy is next.